And you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K284AL, Holly Eva. And this is Felicia Kauai Soapbox Live. And it's tough to pod down REM. What a great song, I believe. Excellent song, excellent show. We always enjoy being right after our big brothers here at the Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show. So Kauai Soapbox Live is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Anahola Stringed Instruments, Kauai Canvas, the National Tropical Botanical Gardens Concert, and Nancy Gardner Thermography.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Anahola Stringed Instruments is proud to support KKCR. Mickey Sussman has been building island koa guitars, ukulele, and violins on Kauai since 1972. Time-honored designs and special orders. Prompt and complete restoration, repair, and reforestation. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
Kauai Canvas, professional gallery quality giclée canvas printing and digital image capture now available on Kauai. Managing print flow, stretching, and even crating. More information at 212-6971 or online at kauaicanvas.com. Kauai Canvas, stretch your imagination.
The National Tropical Botanical Garden presents the Musical Legends in the Garden Concert, Saturday, April 5th, at NTBG's South Shore Visitor Center in Poipu, featuring 13-time Grammy winner Jerry Douglas on the dobro, plus Hawaiian legends Ledward Ka'apana and Mike Ka'ava, a trio of Nathan Aviao, Jeff Peterson, and Benny Chong, and local favorites Ken Emerson, Pancho Graham, and Kirby Keough. The concert celebrates the 50th anniversary of the nonprofit National Tropical Botanical Garden. More information and tickets available online at ntbg.org and ticket outlets island-wide.
Nancy Gardner will be back on Kauai offering thermography, breast, and full-body screenings on Friday, April 4th from 9 to 5. Thermography is an accurate screening alternative that uses no radiation or compression. Nancy Gardner is board certified as a technician of medical thermology at Auburn University. More information online at healthybreasts.info. You can schedule an appointment for April 4th by calling 866-766-2468. That's 866-766-2468.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. We're going to have a really good show today. It's going to be about a lot of different things. Let me see if my co-host, Larry, are you mic'd up okay?
I believe I am.
Okay, and we're going to have another co-host too, Kavika Kuchar from Anahola, who has called in many times. So I'm looking forward to that. He's still on his way. Yes, Larry?
Yeah, he should be here in about 20 minutes.
Okay, perfect. Because there are many different elements that we're going to bring up today, and I really appreciate having different viewpoints to discuss it. One of those issues, I want to go over some of the key points on the mayor's budget. Definitely inviting calls in at 826-7771, or if folks are off island, 866-275-1112. So we'll be looking at that $180 million budget. It's a tough job coming up with that. And the county council right now, they are spending a few weeks on having their response. Another element that will be discussed today is Maui's Shaka Ballot Initiative that apparently was a successful effort over there in Kahului, and quite a number of Kauai folks went over there. They were working to get 8,500 signatures, and it's a supposedly they have about 9,000. You know, you never know. You got to really look at them all right. I want to also be talking about voter registration at some point today, because it really takes all of us, and I know not everybody agrees. And if you're listening out there and you have a counter viewpoint from what you are hearing, you are most welcome to call in at 826-7771, because we are looking for all sides of the issue. Everybody's opinion is very important. Another piece that I'm expecting a call in a little bit after 5. Kauai also has a ballot initiative that is going up for petition and is looking for, I think what would be required is 2,500 signatures. So we might be learning a little bit more about what happened with that. Other elements that people have put forward that want to have discussed today. Some people were concerned Walmart had an emergency closing on Sunday. I don't know a lot of details on that. We might get an Akamai listener who calls in about that. And a whole bunch of upcoming events. There was an earthquake today in Chile at 8.0. I don't know if that will be rocking us at all over here. Sometimes we have a pretty good surge that can come all the way across the ocean.
I haven't heard about a tsunami, but it's certainly possible. But I would think from Chile, it would probably go past us.
Yeah, or soften down. But we have, in this chain of islands, had a pretty hard impact from over on that side. I can't remember. That was one that hit Hilo pretty hard, and it originated from the south.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. My thought would be if it came from that side of the globe that we'd end up, it would hit the other islands first. But I haven't heard anything about a tsunami formation.
I'm sure that we will be hearing from them that our emergency management system, if there is civil defense. We do have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
I just wanted to let you know Walmart had a bomb scare. On Sunday.
Okay, I thought I had read in the paper that it was an odor outside, but it was a bomb scare?
Yeah.
I had heard, too, that it was an odor, and they had to use vans to transport people to the hospital.
I was at Wilcox Hospital when this was going on, and that's what I was hearing from the people that I was with. So it may be just secondhand information.
Okay.
But that's what I heard.
And are you fine now? You were at the hospital at the time?
I was just having lunch at the cafeteria.
Oh, okay. Hey, you know what? I want to give a shout out to the hospital cafeteria.
It's A1.
It's good food.
I'm going to go, but I just wanted to let you know that's what I heard.
Okay. I'll read to the listener what says in the paper. So hopefully the paper got it right, but it says Walmart employees leave the store's property while Kauai Fire Department hazmat crews conduct an investigation into the source of a noxious odor. Walmart closed Sunday morning after a strange odor was detected. Kauai Fire Department hazmat crews and a representative from the State Department of Health were unable to determine the source that forced the evacuation of the store in Lihue. 9 individuals sought medical treatment for non-life-threatening illnesses, according to county officials, which included throat and eye irritation. All affected individuals are expected to make a full recovery. That's great. Firefighters responded to the complaints at approximately 11 a.m. An investigative report states the odor was confined to the main entry of the store. Crews conducted air monitoring throughout the store and surrounding areas, but there was no evidence or report of a chemical spill detected. Walmart staff referred questions to their corporate office, which couldn't be reached for the comment. The store reopened shortly before, too. As a former retailer, it's not an easy choice to close the store for 3 hours, especially a store of that size.
Which indicates that it was of significant enough magnitude. And I would think if it was inherent to the store, they would know the source of the irritation.
Yeah. So if there's an Akamai listener who was down there and knows something a little bit more than was reported in the paper, 826-7771.
Another thing consider for callers is President Obama is appearing at the University of Michigan tomorrow morning to propose a federally mandated raise of the minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10.
And so will that be live reported? Probably on TV?
I'm sure locally, and I would assume wherever the president goes, there's a press corps that goes with them. So, yes, I would assume that with certainty that we'll know in relative real time what the proposal was. But that's the proposal. He's just going to outline the plan for the minimum wage to be raised, what is that, $2.85?
Well, in Kauai, I believe it's 7.25, and it would go up then to 10.25?
10.10. A federally
10.10, okay.
Yeah, there's 16 states that have the 7.25 minimum wage. It's 16 states, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam have the minimum wage of 7.25, and this would be a federal mandate. For all the states and territories to have a federal minimum wage guarantee of $10.10.
Well, I think that that's really important information, and it's a really good point for discussion. Certainly, living on $7.25 an hour is very, very difficult. I bet most employers don't actually pay that level unless it's something that is also supplemented by tips, because here, it's really hard to attract, even entry-level work at that price. But it is important in that it affects our overall standard of living. So on the positive end, for the people getting a wage increase, that's great. And for the people who, you know, just as the way it goes all the way across the price index and what we spend, then that's pretty expensive. I think it's a great segue into the mayor's budget, because the budget is $180 million. I've tried to look through it. Larry, were you looking at it also?
Yeah, I did. It's 439 pages for one portion of the budget.
Yes.
And then there's another supplement that's it's only a dozen pages or so, but it's pretty extensive. The thing that I see and this is a cursory look at it, is it seems pretty appropriate. And I think regardless of what they propose, there's going to be criticism from both sides. But most of the increased expenditures, last year's budget was $176 million. And it's increased to $180.6 million. But most of the budget increases are due to the collective bargaining agreement with the county employees. And so that took up $3.3 million. And they, when I look through it, I think they're making, they're running it as best as they can to try to get cuts where they can get it and to maintain services that they need to maintain. And so, it seems pretty appropriate, but it coincides with the discussion about minimum wage, where it's mandated that the county employees get a raise, but those who are struggling to get a job and have to get a minimum wage job have been stuck at $7.25. So I think it's time for corporations to recognize that's not a livable wage, and I think it would be a nice step to bump the minimum wage to $10.10.
Well, my instinct is that, yes, it needs to happen. I think that it won't be too painful for a lot of employers, because I think most people, like I used to do, have entry-level people working, and you have to pay more than minimum wage. Here in Kauai, it's just not livable to have it that amount, unless somebody is living with their parents still or not a prime part of the workforce that supports themselves. I don't want to be disrespecting people who do manage to live on that amount of money. They have my maximum respect, just acknowledging it's very difficult. I see with the county, 64% of their operating budget is in staffing, and that makes sense because most of what the county does is workforce extensive, and we're actually happy to have a big employer like that. We have a caller wanting to go on the air. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hey, Felicia, hi. This is Remy Catania calling from Pride at Work and Raise the Wage Hawaii. So I wanted to respond to your discussion. I'm glad that you did. I thought I was going to just lay back and listen to a lot of other stuff, but since you talked about it, I decided to give a call. I'll be going to Honolulu on Friday to join a demonstration on raising the minimum wage and economic equality. And Obama's pushing for 10-10. We hope we get it here in Hawaii, but the legislature's been haggling over it for the last 3 years. And there's a big scrap over it here because we want it in 3 years, and most of the legislators want it in 4 years.
Let me ask you something, Ray.
Yes.
My understanding is if it becomes a federal mandate, it doesn't even matter what the states say. Is that correct?
Well, basically what's been happening is that it's been left to the states to push it.
But, Ray, tomorrow I think what the president's doing is going to say the federal minimum is 10-10. So
yeah,
for all states. So we'll see. But I'm pretty certain.
We'll see if it gets enacted here. We've got to make sure that it does, you know, because there have been, forces here in the state legislature that doesn't want it to come up to 10-10. You know.
And what are we asking for? Are we asking for 10-10 here at the state level or more than that?
Yes, we're asking for 10-10 at the state level. There's a bill, 2609, that was forwarded by Clayton Heaney, of which the forces for increasing the minimum wage were supporting. And struggle right now if it's going to be 10-10 in 3 years or 10-10 in 4 years or maybe just $10 in 4 years. And the other point of contention is over the tip credit, because there are some forces like Tokioka who wants to raise the tip credit from 25 cents to a dollar, you know, or more.
What does that mean?
Well, what it means is that, like, for example, if waitresses make more than $75 a week, then their basic minimum wage is $7. If they make less, it's $7.25, you know, because, like, my niece, she works over at one of the restaurants here, and so sometimes she makes above more than $75 a week, you know, in tips. So, and sometimes it's even less. So that's where the contention is. And the past 3 years, they haven't had an agreement on it because of the tip credit. The restaurant association, like Duke's, which is part of that, they want to, keep the minimum wage down as much as possible. And in particular, the tip credit is where they're complaining. But there's going to be an increase, you know. There's going to be an increase, but we're going to see if it's going to be 3 years or 4 years, because the states are going to be able to enact it according to their situation, you know.
So that's a
struggle. It hasn't been easy at all. Just like 2491, which became 960, hasn't been easy at all. It's a real struggle.
So I have a question for you, because I got an Akamai listener sending me a text saying that $10.10 from Obama is for federal contract employees only, isn't everybody.
Okay.
No, it's not everybody. It's federal contract employees. But when Obama does something like that, it puts the onus on the Democrats to follow through. That's what he's trying to do. And the thing is, too, is that the Democrats have been taking a licking across the country. So, you know, that's why they've been pushing hard on this income inequality thing and raising the minimum wage. So, but it's only going to be for federal workers, you know, not necessarily state workers, you know. So that's where the contention is. So at our legislature here, that's where the struggle has been. Donna Kim, you know, what's that other guy who was running for governor? Jesus Christ, from Pearl City. Marshall Ige, those guys have been holding up the minimum wage increase for the past 3 years because of the tip credit. They wanted to keep it as low as possible. But because Obama and Democrats, high up in his administration have been pushing for it, you know, for at least $10 an hour, they've been kind of giving in, but typically is the big problem. From what I understand, from what I heard internally, was that the Chamber of Commerce will go along with the 1010, but the Restaurant Association, they're the ones who are really bucking, you know, on the tip credit, you know. But the Chamber of Commerce wants it to 4 years, not 3 years. So
okay.
There's still some contention going on.
So thank you.
I'll find out when I go on Friday.
Okay, so you're going to go, and are other people going? Is this a march, or is it just going?
Yeah, well, no, I think I'm the only one that's going here from Kauai.
My Oahu listeners, what's happening on Friday? At what time and where would they be?
Well, okay, they're going to be marching from several places. From the St. Andrews Cathedral is one of them. The HGA office on Mililani Street, 888, is another area. There's going to be five altogether. I don't have the list with me,
okay.
But I think I'm going to be marching from Mililani Street. And I think most of the people are going to be marching from either the 4th Street Mall or from St. Andrew's Church, because St. Andrew's Church is very close to the Capitol. It starts at 3:15, and then they're going to have that rally going from 4 to 6 o'clock, and it's being supported by the Faith Action for Community Equity, Raise the Wage Hawaii, Pride at Work. So there's a number of organizations. It's mostly going to be Honolulu people that are going to be there, but I'm going to show up to represent Kauai on this thing because, you know, we've been doing some work on it, Pride at Work and Raise the Wage Hawaii, so I'll be there. And then when I come back, I'll give a report of what happened.
Okay, thank you so much, Ray.
Yeah, so thank you. I'm going to listen to your show. It sounds pretty interesting today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Aloha. Thank you so much for holding. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. I heard about the Walmart closure.
Uh-huh. Can you speak more thoroughly into your phone?
Sure. I heard that it was from GMO spraying. Pioneer was spraying the fields behind Walmart.
Okay.
So that's what I heard. Can anyone substantiate that?
And it was on a Sunday, right? So probably what's important to do is to document the time and the day. It looks like it is 11 o'clock. And then now, since they have the good neighbor policy of putting out their spray records, I'm not sure if it does the time and the date in there, but that would be an interesting piece to look for. Is there a suspected pesticide, or who knows?
Well, it sounds very similar to what happened at the Waimea Elementary.
Okay.
Wasn't it sound the same thing, nausea? And I know that's just what I heard. I was wondering if anyone else has any more information out there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye.
Aloha. So, Kavika, I'm so glad that you're in here.
Yeah, I made it.
He made it. You call in on so many different topics. I appreciate that you listen, and you usually have a very interesting viewpoint that adds some depth. And is it correct to say very often from the perspective of a Kanaka Mo'oli?
Yes. I live on a Department of Hawaiian Homelands. I'm a certified Hawaiian.
Certified Hawaiian?
I'm a certified Hawaiian. A certified Kanaka, that means I qualify for the Department of Hawaiian Homelands. We've lived in Anahola for a while now. I love Anahola. It reminds me of where I grew up.
Quick question, and I don't know the right answer, so it's not a loaded question. Did you sign up on the roll call, the new roll call?
I was automatically signed up because I was a member of Kauinoa, and I have got the letters. My friends over here last week have a little bit different perspective than what I do. I think... excuse me, that every person of Hawaiian ancestry or koko or kanaka maoli should be registered. The reason why is numbers is power, and the more numbers we have is more power. And the system we have is broken, and we need to use the system to better ourselves. I agree with Prince Kuhio's vision of the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, but if you study history, Prince Kuhio was put sort of in a box when he went to Washington, because he lobbied for 1/32nd blood quantum, not 50%. But as we all know, the Klan controlled both Democratic and the Republican parties in the 1920s. And some of them were connected to the plantation owners of Hawaii at the time. And they did not want Hawaiian homes act to pass, and that's why they made it 50%. Originally, they wanted it to be 100%, which would have definitely killed probably half of our people at the time. I am for the blood quantum on Hawaiian homes to be lowered to successorship. That means no matter how far down the line is, that you can prove that your tutu and your tutukane were connectors, you can stay on the land.
And your children, are they 50%?
Yes.
Okay, good for you.
My wife is Hawaiian too.
Okay, I mean, not that I mind the hoppiness, but sometimes I've joked that if people don't start staying, keep their children Hawaiian, then there's not going to be any left.
Well, right now I think there's probably less than 200,000 of us in the state of Hawaii with any blood.
Mm-hmm.
So if 120,000 signed up for the role, that means there's about 60,000 to 70,000 that haven't decided. And then if you go to the mainland, there's probably 250,000 that have blood in the mainland. That's Utah, California, New York, Minnesota. And then you got about 5,000 in the United States Armed Forces.
And they can all sign up,
too. And they can all sign up.
Because my understanding in being on that roll call, because I grew up in Colorado and Arizona, it seems to me like an ethnic element, like tribal.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than nationhood.
Yeah. We were never tribal. We had chiefs, ali'i, and every true Kanakan can trace their bloodline to what bloodline they come from. I come from the Nala Ulu bloodline, which is one of the ancient bloodlines. And there's other Kanakas that I know also that come from that bloodline. And there's others that come from the Kamehameha dynasty, Kamuli'i, etc., or from Niihau, or any of the Hawaiian bloodlines. It's important to know who you are, where you are, and where you're going. The key to a strong Hawaiian community is education in two worlds. One is the modern world, and one is the ancient world. And what I mean by that is Hawaiians, we live in two worlds. We live in a physical world and a spiritual world. Everything to Kanakas is spiritual. And problems at home usually have a spiritual root to them. Problems with our own people have a spiritual root because something is not pono.
So how do you feel about Malahini's inhaling the culture enough that they are adopting a lot of the land management, a lot of the ways? How does that feel to you?
Sometimes it's a double-edged sword to me because I get all kinds of friends, all these Portuguese, Filipinos, Pakes, Popolos, Tongans, Samoans, whatever, that I grew up with. And most of them are married Hawaiians, so they've assimilated and took parts of our culture that they really loved, like fishing and hunting and farming and the ocean and the environment. I've been to meetings where non-Hawaiians have voiced their concerns, but it'd be like me going to New York City, say the Bronx, and all of a sudden I want to protect the Bronx penguin. And I don't know nothing about the Bronx penguin, and there's no such thing as a Bronx penguin.
Right.
And I made a bunch of noise, and then everybody made a bunch of laws, and then we couldn't play football on Friday night because of the Bronx penguin. And then I would shut down those people's way of life, and I'm not even from there. That's why I say it's a double-edged sword. I know a lot of good Holy Brothers that I grew up with that have the same values that we have, that are married to Hawaiian women, or vice versa, that have the same values and the same traditions. I don't see nothing wrong with that. But I think it's dangerous when you're a non-Kanaka and you become an expert in the Hawaiian language or Hawaiian culture. Or like, I'm a Kui Pohaku instructor. I'm on the Native Hawaiian Masters list with a couple of my cousins. And that's a stone carver. Okay, and I've taught people, and all of a sudden they become experts. That's why I don't teach anybody no more. And the people that I do teach have to be like students.
Okay, yes.
And that's the danger I see with being a Kanaka or a Hawaiian, is that a lot of people use our culture for monetary gain, and a lot of people use it as a power trip.
Well, and then I would have to say many people, as a gesture of respect and being a guest in the home of Hawaii, that they make that effort to know about the host culture and to assimilate rather than to eclipse the culture.
I have friends who always wonder about this. I've been all around the world, okay? And a lot of my friends have, and we've done things that nobody else has done. And we come home, and then sometimes the things that we used to do when we were small, all of a sudden we have somebody not from Hawaii tell us that you can't do that no more.
Mm.
But we do it anyway, because they don't have the right to tell us that we can't do it. It's like people don't have the right to tell me to get off the reef.
Right.
I am part of the ocean. I am part of the reef. I am part of the mountains. I am part of the land. I am part of the sea. I am part of the rivers. And those rights are inalienable rights that we were given by Akua. He gave us those rights. And until I die, I will exercise those rights.
And while you're talking about the sea, I have an announcement to make, because our station manager did check, because we talked about the earthquake in Chile, which was a magnitude 7 in another area. Oh, this is the... there's a magnitude 8 in Chile, and there is also a magnitude 7 off the coast of Northern California that was very recent, but there is no threat of a tidal wave. So that's information that is out here right now. Okay, so back to that, like PASH rights is what you're really speaking of.
Yeah, I have inalienable rights that are protected by the state of Hawaii and also by the federal government as being indigenous, and I exercise those rights. We surround, we fish, we pick opihi, we pick limu, we access the mountains, but we don't destroy the mountains, and we don't destroy the reefs, and we don't destroy the ocean.
And you hunt?
When I was a little boy, I used to hunt all the time with my dad and my uncles for pig. We used to use dogs and a knife, and your manhood test was to jump out of the tree and kill the pig.
With a knife?
With a knife.
All right. So, in my program, I actually teach a school. I have an alternative middle school down at Waipa. And we have hunting as part of it. And these guys go from learning how to track to making sausage and smoked meat. And I'm really happy that that's
some
part of
it. Some of your Poi Ponders are from me from a long time ago.
Thank you.
Yeah, I donated into Waipa a long time ago.
And we actually learned to do that, too. So, very good. Larry, do you have something to say?
I'm just reading about on the computer about the earthquake off of Chile.
Okay.
There is concern. It's not a warning yet, but that a tsunami could approach the Hawaiian islands, and they're guesstimating 15 hours. So we'll probably, people should stay alert and listen to the radio.
Okay, that's good. Anyway, we will pay attention to that earthquake. And so the earthquake that I just announced on was a Northern California one.
This one was from 4:29 our time. What I just said, the information I just stated came at 4:29 from the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Kavika.
Yes.
You have, I love when you call in, because you're usually really pretty direct on a lot of these elements. And I want your mana'o on some of these things, like the county budget. Have you gotten a chance to glance at that yet, or to look at any of that information?
No, but I have a solution for the county budget.
Okay, let's hear it.
If you charge everybody that gets off the plane $5, user fee to use the land and to drive on the roads and to park their cars and rent their cars, you can fill all the game warden positions you want. You can have all the police you want. You can have all the schools bettered. Because if you times the flights that come in by per person, it's in the millions of dollars a year.
So if I have a Nakamai listener, or maybe Larry can look that up for me in a minute, the number of visitors, I know we average about 20,000 a day is
mm-hmm.
average. But some of those visitors are here for a week or two mm-hmm. weeks. So if there was a million visitors, that would be $5 million, and our budget here is $180
mm-hmm.
million. So what that would cover is the increase of payroll that they've done. We were just speaking about the minimum wage going up, I don't really have a problem with the county folks getting paid a little bit better. We were looking through the different salaries and actually some of the executive salaries. There's a very close parallel between the budget of Kauai Island Utility Cooperative and the County of Kauai. And the County of Kauai folks aren't paid nearly as well as KIUC. Not slamming KIUC right there, but I think that the people who are working at the county are worth what they're paid. So it might be that we have to have an increase.
If you cut taxes, 30% around the, if you cut taxes 30% around the board, that means 30% more is in my pocket for me to spend. So the county gets more revenue because I buy more things. The state gets more revenue because I buy more things. That can fix their budget shortfalls. I think, you know, with the vacation rentals, they need to be taxed at the regular home rate.
For their property tax? Because that would drop their taxes substantially.
Every time they rent it. Because you're using it more than once, over and 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 over. So if you had 100 visitors in your beachfront rental, and say each one paid $1,200 a week or whatever the going rate is, I don't know what it is, and you charge them each time they came the tax for the house, the yearly tax, you'd have a lot of money. And then a lot of people, majority of owners I know, don't even live in Hawaii at home, have beachfront rentals. That's just a suggestion.
Right. There are different ways that we need to be able to find money. It's a challenge. We have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to make you guys aware that the one thing with the vacation rentals, if they are legal and all above board and paying their taxes, they are paying the GE tax, which is like 4166, and then the T tax, which is 11.3, I think, or something. So they actually pay some pretty stiff revenues, plus their tax zoning schedule is different. So I'm not defending them or anything, but just everybody needs to know if they are in compliance and they're doing what they're told, you know, doing what they're supposed to, they are actually paying quite a bit extra money.
Can you keep speaking right into your phone, please, because you're dropping in and out? Are you there?
There's a few considerations in the new budget proposal. They're going to raise the hotel and resort class property real tax from $9 to $11 per $1,000 of valuation. And that they're going to raise the solid waste tipping fees from $90 to $119 per ton. Vehicle weight tax is going to go up. It's fairly insignificant. It's 0.75 cents for personal vehicles and 0.5 cents for commercial vehicles. And then the transient vacation rentals fee is going to be increased from $500 to $750. So those are considerations for trying to raise revenue.
Yes, I saw that those were in there. I think that we're going to have a spread of creeping inflation. We have been having it. Last time I filled my vehicle, I get the cheapest gas. It was
$4.69
is what I paid in, I think I was in Hanapepe. I was like, wow, that seemed like it's gone up, yeah?
We could have cheaper gas. It's just that the powers that be don't want us to have cheaper gas. We could have cheaper gas. It's just the powers that be don't want us to have cheaper gas. You know, this globalization stuff that's going on, it's all powered by the same parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. And they're both in cahoots with big business. And, you know, the more poor people you get, the more disenfranchised families there are. The more people you got to work two jobs, less time at home with your kids. You know, the family is the backbone of any country. And if the family goes down, the country goes down. It's real simple.
So you said you traveled all over the world. I seem to remember from a call you've made that you were in the service. Is that where you had the traveling?
Yes, I was a soldier a long time ago in the 1970s. I've been to a bunch of countries. I did two tours overseas. And I was 18 at the time. I volunteered out of high school when I was still in high school.
Was there a war at that time? As after the war?
There was an undeclared war.
Where at? Can I say?
You can't answer some questions.
Okay,
all
right.
There was undeclared war, and I volunteered when I was in high school. I was a sophomore. I volunteered. I took the test, passed high, did the delay entry program with two of my good friends. I went overseas. My friend went to the war in Kansas. And my other one went to Egypt. And I learned a lot. I've done a lot of things.
So can you speak to the kind of things that you did learn? Because that has informed a lot of your opinions. Is that correct?
Yeah. I went to language school. I speak German, Russian. My Russian's not so good. I also speak Hawaiian and English. So I guess that counts as 4, 5 with the pidgin. And I met all kind of people. One of my roommates was a Klan boy from Florida, Ku Klux Klan.
Mm-hmm.
The other was a Black Panther from St. Louis. The other one was Viva La Raza from East L.A. My other roommate was a stoner from Indiana. His name was Doc Holliday. And my squad leader was an American Indian, Cherokee, full blood.
So you had the rainbow.
His name was Billy Mack. And I was the Mexican at the time, because anything that wasn't one on the above was a Mexican or a Puerto Rican. So I was the Hawaiian in the group.
So do you support America's military efforts presently? Do you where do you come in on that? And have you noticed the new drone programs that are here? Do you have an opinion on those things?
Yeah, I've seen the Predator fly over on the hull a couple times already.
And what does a Predator look like?
It's a drone. It's a small plane.
It's is it gray?
Twin engine, black gray.
Black gray.
It usually flies over in the evening close to the mountains. It's probably doing some kind of op, I don't know. But you asked me about the wars. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry for all the young boys that went to Iraq and Afghanistan. I feel sorry for them because they come home and they don't have a house. They don't have a place to live. And some of them are not treated well. And I also feel sorry for the ones that have missing limbs. And those are all somebody's daughter or son. I feel sorry that our country is taken away, that we go to war, but we don't win wars. We go for a tie, or we go for whatever other reasons.
It seems like a long-term occupation. I mean, without slamming any of our service that's in there, actually, we have a lot of respect for our service members. It seems they are exploited, from what I can tell, from not being in the military myself. I recognize that I'm an outsider of looking at that issue, but it seems like we could do better for our service members.
Yeah. The wars that are going on are hard on our country, hard on Hawaii, hard on everybody, because, again, there's somebody's sons and daughters. If you have war, you need to win the war, just like we did in the Second World War. You got to have a treaty. You cannot make war and not win, because what happens is they come back and haunt you later on in life. All our enemies that we don't deal with come back greater than next time. And this thing that's happening in the Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union a long time, and the Soviet Union hasn't gone away. Putin's still KGB, and so are all his henchmen around him. All they did is become democratic KGB agents. If you look at Russia, it's not really cut its military. It's refined its military for precision tactics.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Kavika Kuchar from Anahola has joined us in the room here with Larry Schneider. And we are talking about a range of world issues, public affairs issues. And I appreciate that you have called in many times with a different viewpoint. How do you, have you been paying attention to the Trans-Pacific Partnership? Do you know what that is? That's a big trade deal that's happening, that's like supranational. It's bigger than the United States government.
I don't support anything that takes away the sovereignty of a country. I don't support anything that the United Nations does. because it was founded by some very not too good people, and they still have a not too good plan for the world.
What about the sovereignty of Kanaka Maoli? I mean, that seems to be a very pushing issue.
My point is this. I'll tell you a story. My great-great-grandfather owned a Model T. One day he woke up, his Model T was gone, and he seen these two Japanese driving his Model T down the road. 3 weeks later passed, a month passed, a year passed. He see two Koreans driving his Model T. My grandfather dies, but his son sees the Model T. Going now, it has two Samoans in it for 10 years. They painted the Model T, sanded it, made it beautiful, and they sold it to some Portuguese. These Portuguese owned the Model T for 10 years. My grandfather watches it go back each and every day. It sold 100 times. Me as the grandson, I go to the DMV to pay the tax on the car. Whose car is it? It's still mine.
Okay.
at a philosophical level, that makes perfect sense. You have experience in the military. If you said that Model T is yours, would the military sit quietly?
Probably not. The reason why is because a lot of the laws since the overthrow have been done by the people that were involved with the overthrow, and they made their own banks and their own title companies.
Very literally.
That still makes it illegal. If you stole once and you didn't get caught, fine. You stole again and you didn't get caught, bad. You stole again and you didn't get caught, bad, bad, bad. What I'm trying to say is this. What's stolen is if I went into your yard and I stole all the mangoes from your tree and I was selling them down the side of the road and I made a lot of money, whose mangoes are they? Still yours.
Right. So, go ahead.
The practical thing that I worry about is people are talking about something that makes perfect sense and it philosophically is right. I can't imagine the government and the military sitting quietly. And I think in the name of something right, there could be significant catastrophic consequences.
Yes. We all have choices to make and we all have to sleep in our own beds and we all have to do what's right. We all have to do what's right. To me, if I don't exercise my rights as a Kanaka, as a Hawaiian, that means my grandson, when I take him to the beach and when I'm an old man, he won't be able to. If I don't stand up for what I believe and who I am, my son won't stand up and his son won't stand up. Sooner or later, it's like the story of the giant. You have a giant that's 500 feet tall and you have 50 midgets and each midget has a stick. Sooner or later, with all the sticks, the giant falls or makes it right and creates a treaty.
So speaking of that, did you follow the Shaka movement on Maui that happened just this past Sunday? There was a number of people, including Dustin Barca, Gary Hooser, Justin Zern, Clayton Kubo, Lori Lonnie Torrio, many people from here went over there to stand with the folks on Maui because many people from Maui came over to Kauai on the 2491 issues. They had the Shaka movement over there, which is a moratorium on the cultivation of genetically engineered organisms. That's something that they're doing a petition initiative to happen. And that puts it right on the ballot for the people to vote. So if they vote on it, that means there's a county charter that's changed. So even if their county council switches, the county council can't just change that. They can't just pull it away. Like when there is this Ordinance 960 here that's a pesticide disclosure bill, and I haven't even really asked you what your opinion is on that. I'm not sure what side of that issue you're on. My guess is you're probably Malama Aina, like looking how we can best take care of the land and maybe we need to move beyond chemicals. Am I making a correct assumption there?
Hey, let me say something. I got family on the west side and friends on the west side that I've known for a long time. I don't have anything against anybody farming. but I don't like personally when you cross genetic lines and you put animal DNA into plant DNA. I think that's playing God and Frankenstein. And if you were feeding the world, there wouldn't be hungry people.
Yes. And I'm always somebody who's looking for a win-win, looking for a soft transition, and because I don't want to hurt anybody, but I'm not downwind. And so for my West Side friends that hear me say that and kind of start to really bristle because they are downwind,
mm-hmm.
But I think, well, let's look at it as a product line that's gone out of fashion, and how can they start making a better product line? That is a particular perspective, but with doing an initiative to put something right on the ballot, then it's taking it absolutely out of the hands of the county council. It's not up to the legislative element to just say, this is what we don't want. And there is one that is coming up on Kauai. I don't know if we have a title for that yet. I am expecting a call not long after the top of the hour from Kauai Rising that are putting that ballot initiative out also. And I will let them describe the nature of the ballot initiative. But on Kauai, it's about 2,500 votes that need to be received and registered voters need to sign that ballot initiative. And if that's the case, then it ends up on the ballot.
If you're asking me what I think the solution is for Kauai, it's simple. Restore all the fish ponds, number one. Number two, if you have a garden, plant enough food to sustain your family. And if you don't, learn how to have a garden. I have a garden. None of my stuff is GMO. And it's pretty big. It's like a quarter acre. And number three is don't pollute the rivers. Don't pollute the reefs. Take care of what you have. If you complain about trees, your house better have the most trees. You know, if you're concerned about the forest, plant trees around your house. You know, trees make oxygen. And real simple things. All Hawaiian values is, like when you go fishing, don't take all the fish. You go hunting, don't take all the pigs. Don't take all the deer. Don't take all the goats. It's real simple. You know, if you think about tomorrow, your kids can eat. If you don't think about tomorrow, nobody eats.
It seems like there's a breakdown, though, between the thoughts of the individuals and the families versus the corporate thoughts, because a lot of what you're speaking of in terms of putting toxins into the land and the water and feeding the individuals isn't what a lot of the problems are coming from. It's the economic aspect, not the self-sufficiency aspect, that's creating the trouble.
Do you know that in the 1800s, Kauai alone harvested over 1 million pounds of fish every month from the fish ponds? Every month. That's enough to feed the island of Kauai 100 times.
And we do have an overgrowth of pigs because we don't have enough hunters. So the statistic I'm seeing is 3 times as many pigs as people, so about 210,000, that would bring us there. I did have a caller. I'm not sure if I got his message quite right. He was asking about poi and the taro field, and I believe he was saying, why are the taro fields being used with pesticides then?
I don't have a taro field, so I really can't answer that question. But I know taro farmers, they use certain kind of fertilizers for the taro, organic and non-organic. You know, everything you do got consequences. Everything. We all wake up with choices every morning. You can choose to do good, or you can choose to do bad. It's up to you. It's up to the individual. But if you didn't learn from your parents and your grandparents, it makes it easy for you to make bad choices. And if your God, not your God in this, if your God is Kala, the money, then you're going to do anything it takes to get the Kala.
I think we can all get so busy also. We can be so overwhelmed with needing to work this job, this job, this job, that we don't stop long enough to think, okay, if we didn't have all the jobs, we could grow our food in our yard. My yard is abundant with food, so I know if it's possible for me, it's possible for anybody, because I'm not strong and hard mm-hmm. worker, honestly, if I'm honest about it. My stuff grows abundantly. I don't even water it. I have really good soil management because I have it in a natural permaculture type style. Mm-hmm. I call it yardening, and I like to think that I look almost Filipino from the outside of my yard because it is bustling with food. I know they might do a better job, but still yet, I have a lot of food in there. And
if everybody would do that, Kauai would be a better place. If everybody would just grow something and share with their neighbors, or even if you had to make money for gas, sell it cheap, your neighbor gets blessed, you get blessed, everybody moves on, we have the money stays on Kauai, it gets better.
But a while ago, you had talked about how families can get fragmented. They have to work two jobs mm-hmm. to sustain themselves economically. And in the process of working those two jobs, which don't pay that much and make it difficult to get autonomy, you lose some autonomy by losing some of the skills that would have been available had there not been a need to shift from a family-oriented culture to a more corporate culture.
Yeah. I think the Western culture is different than Hawaiian culture on a bunch of values.
And I think that even Hawaiian culture, I don't want to say a Hawaiian culture, European descent people's cultures has been co-opted too. Everybody's been co-opted. Mm-hmm. It's every people, even white people, are indigenous to somewhere and yeah. have some rootings. We have a quick question from a caller before we hit the top of the hour. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm sorry, I tuned in late, and I'm sorry if this is off topic, but I was wondering if anybody has ever heard of an herbicide called Aqua Master, because a little over a week ago I filed a inquiry complaint with the Department of Water about the brown embankments around the stream between the Wailua Golf Course and the highway. It's all been sprayed brown, and that's a stream that goes to another body of water. So I was told by Department of Water that they use Aquamaster. That's what Wailua Golf Course told them, and that it's perfectly safe for water.
Okay, thank you. So maybe we will have an Akamai listener who will call in with knowledge on that one. Aquamaster.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL, Holly Eva. This is Kauai Soapbox with Felicia. Larry Schneider is in the room with me, as is Kavika Kucher. And our program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Caldwell Banker Realty, Balihai Realty, Anahola String Instruments, Aya's Garden, and Al Pastor Tacos.
Coldwell Banker, Balihai Realty, and Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Balihai Realty also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihai.com or by calling 826-7244.
Anahola Stringed Instruments is proud to support KKCR. Mickey Sussman has been building Island Koa guitars, ukulele, and violins on Kauai since 1972. Time-honored designs and special orders. Prompt and complete restoration, repair, and reforestation. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos, and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K284AL, Haleiwa.
And mahalo for listening to Kauai Community Radio and supporting us, the station that loves you. Okay, so we are back here, Kavika. We were just speaking about ballot initiatives, one that got sidelined. There was an effort that was being put out for districting on county council. I was sort of on the fence on that. At some level, I like the power of being able to vote for every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I also realized that I believe six of the seven currently are all right from the Lihue, Wailua area. Did you have an opinion on districting of the ballot?
I thought it was a good idea at first, but I'm good friends with a couple councilmen, and I would like to see some changes in the county council, the way they do some things. I watch some of their meetings, and sometimes I feel sorry for them, because a lot of people just come up and yell at them and mm-hmm. scream at them. And I understand everybody's concern, but there's a civilized way to do things.
Yeah, it's perhaps a difficult position. I know that when I look at the makeup of the county council, to me, it's really important to get a whole hand of cards of different strengths and perspectives. Not any one person can have it all mastered. And so when you have different qualities, it's going to bring in a different angle on the discussion. Mm-hmm. So that could be a challenge that you would get all of one type, maybe, if it was seven districts. But in that case, the County Charter Review Commission was determining if a ballot initiative should be on there. If everybody wanted that, it could be petitions were out and put on. So when we're looking at this ballot initiative that I believe is going out this week for Kauai, that is almost like a door-to-door sign-up effort, or however that they're going to go and get the signatures. It is trying to be a pushback on this lawsuit that's there. Like 2491 ended up into Ordinance 960, which says, okay, you have to tell us what you're spraying, and mm-hmm. you need to keep it away from the houses. And then so the industry said, you know what, no, we're going to go to court. You have no right to ask us what we're doing. And so this ballot initiative that's coming up, I believe, is giving pushback on that court decision, or the court hasn't decided yet, but it can be hung up in court for years, which is very typical. So it's kind of a tit-for-tat that's going on.
It's hard to fight the powers that be. Mm-hmm. In their own arena, especially a big company, because they have tons of lawyers and they have tons of money. If you're a good neighbor and you are using something that could hurt your neighbor, you're supposed to let them know and have common courtesy and say, you know what, I'm going to spray this because I got these weeds and I can't control them. That would be a good neighbor. A bad neighbor just sprays everybody and sprays the neighbor.
That's right. And this, we have a caller on the air, and we will bring them on. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hey, how did, where are we standing with making and paying the tax, these corporations, I don't know.
You're kind of breaking up a little bit. I heard, where are we standing on what?
Can you hear me now?
Barely.
Oh, I'm in Wallowa. I'm just asking, where are we standing in the county on changing the rules and collecting the tax exemptions for these companies?
Do any of either of you two guys know the answer to that?
I don't have the answer to that.
Well, I mean, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, right?
That's true.
And let's just tax them. Let's tax them. You know, you said, I heard you, brother, earlier, telling you know people, you know county council members.
That's
true. What authority do they have to, well, why don't you press them about why are we giving them tax exemptions?
I know that when 2491 was being formulated, one of the bone of contentions was to put a fee, and that was taken out. So I don't think that there's a mechanism in place right now to charge them, because I thought it would be a good idea to have money in a pool to take care of problems in the event that there would be a quick exit and leave residual that left needed to be cleaned up, and that was not.
Well, I'm just talking about the tax breaks that they have. That's what I'm talking about money for soil remediation or whatever you're trying to go with. That one, I don't know what you're trying to do.
Well, that's almost like a deposit on a rental.
I'm just saying. I mean, why did they even get a tax break in the first place?
It's an enterprise zone project is what that tax break is based on.
Yeah, well, you know, that's where the focus should be.
They want a sewer,
you get taxes, man.
You know, but next time I run into my two friends, I will ask him that question.
Yeah, and because you guys saying one thing, and then you say, you know, the very guy screwing the rest of us. Let's talk and put him on the heat. You know what I mean? The politics is messed up because it's all pretzel conversations and arguments in politics. You start somewhere, you go here, you go there, you come around the bend, and then you get back to the beginning.
That's true, bro.
And that's the problem, bro, right there.
But
you know,
I tell you what.
Start holding everybody accountable. I mean, we need to go and amend the Constitution. I hear every plight, every argument that I hear nowadays, every time I hear a problem that we have with anything that you can think of, it all goes back to how corporations have bullied the power away. And until we redefine who we the people are in the Constitution, all of us can suffer, man. And I think we ought to be talking about that more. But anyway, I'll let you guys go. I gotta go too. Aloha.
Thank you, brother. Aloha. Thanks.
Aren't most of the incentives to the corporations from the state and the federal government?
Yes.
And so the county has difficulty raising the fees on them because the exemptions are state and federal taxes.
An enterprise zone is from the federal, and then I think that the state asks for that. Though I do appreciate if somebody really has that knowledge that they can share that. And when that was coming up was when we had sugar going down. The two industries hand shook with each other. As sugar was coming down and Daniel Inouye came and brought in the corn seed, I was in the luncheon listening to it, and at the time it sounded like just a really, really great opportunity, and it was a brand new technology. People didn't really understand what it meant, and so they worked hard to find a way to keep all those farms working, and the water up there, the surface water in Kekaha and Waimea, you know, it's actually like a salt marsh or a marsh area, definitely a wetland down there, and so when they had sugar, it dried up the water above, and they were able to build the town there. And we had meals ready to eat papayas through the Department of Defense for a time as sugar was closing, just to keep those pumps running to keep the town dry.
Yeah. Just got to get back to this being simple. Simple life, you know. Everything is changing so fast, people can't keep up. Everything is moving so fast. In this world we live in, you have a foundation that's built on your family, and that's what will hold you through all these changes and these hard times. Do you know that if we each would do something good once a day, Kauai would change. If each one of us would do something good, Kauai would change. Help somebody who needs help. If there's an old lady, old man or old lady that needs a ride to the store, take them to the store. If you know somebody needs food, give them some canned goods, if you can. You know somebody needs fish, give them fish. That way we can change Kauai for the best.
Lots of good things are happening, too. I'm always pleased at how many people around work tirelessly to do what they can. And speaking of which, we have Michael on from Kauai Rising.
Aloha, Felicia, and guests.
How's it?
You have Kavika and Larry in here. So tell us what you guys are up to.
Well, we are working hard to get a charter amendment on the ballot in November, and that process will involve gathering petitions, which we hope to have by mid-May completed. The requirement is 2,037 signatures from registered voters, and our goal would be...
2,037?
Right.
Okay.
And we'd like to see more like 5,000 or 6,000 and really make a statement that there's some juice behind our efforts here, because it affects so many of us in so many ways. So the more of an impact we can make going in, the better. First step is obviously to get on the ballot, and then the key was obviously to get it passed in November. So,
can you tell us the name? Like on Maui, they had something called the Shaka Movement. Is there a name of what you're doing, and can you tell us what the essence of your ballot initiative is?
Well, the name, we're establishing a name because we're bringing a whole bunch of the groups together, and we're calling it, right now it's Kauai's Next Step, and we're working with the idea of let the people decide, because we've all watched the process here over the last year and a half for 2491 and the amount of debate and politics that got involved in this process. So it feels very strongly, just as Maui's done a wonderful job with, it's time for us to also bring it forth and let the people decide. Ours is similar to Maui in that the key is making what happens here on Kauai safe for the people and the land. And it puts the requirement back on the companies. Over the years, they've somehow managed to shift the burden of proof onto the people and made it so somehow that we the people had to prove that what they were doing is unsafe. And the primary focus of this is to make sure that what's happening is safe. So it doesn't try to stop anything. It just is intended to protect the health and well-being of the people. It doesn't stop what they're doing on the land, but it does require them to prove that if it comes off of their land, off the property that they are doing their work on, it is not harming the health or well-being of the Aina or the people of Kauai. So it sets the amendment sets up a process where they're required to prove, submit the proof that what they're doing is safe. It sets up a new position in the county of administrator of environmental health, and he will or she will oversee a panel of experts which will evaluate whatever the process or the evidence that the companies submit to this panel. And that panel will give their recommendations to the county council, and the county council will decide whether that proves safety or not safety. And there's one final step that if the people of Kauai decide that they're in disagreement with the county council's decision, then they have 120 days to appeal that decision and possibly overturn it.
Okay, I'm struggling with that piece. Tell me that one more again. Why would the county council be able to deny what comes out of this election? Or what are you saying there with the county council?
The county council will evaluate the recommendations of this panel of experts.
Okay.
And they will decide, you can do what you're doing, or no, you can't do what you're doing. We believe it's safe based on the evidence they've provided, or it's not safe.
Okay.
So as long as the companies prove that what they're doing is safe, they can continue doing it. If they're unable to do that, then they would have to stop.
If one was interested in signing the petition, where could they go to read the substance of the document?
Well, there will be a website going online probably tomorrow called KauaiRising.org, and it will be on there for anybody who wants to see it, or anybody who would like to support the petition gathering process. We've putting together five teams for five different portions of the island, and those teams, there's a phone number you could call Laura Lynn and just give your name. At 826-6513. That's 826-6513, and volunteers are always welcome. We're going to kick that off this week. And the idea is we'll have five teams, and there's 12 people on each team, and or more. it looks like there could be easily more, but if there are 12, then and each of those agrees or commits to gathering 50 signatures, and it would be done over a four-week period, so that's 12 signatures a week. And if everybody achieves that goal, then that's 3,000 signatures, and we achieve our goal. But we're, again, hoping for more like 4,000 or 5,000 signatures, and based on the enthusiasm that we're seeing right now, we're pretty optimistic, so thank you, Kauai. And what Maui has just done this past few weeks is very inspiring. They've just done a fabulous job. So we've been trying to support their efforts, and I know they're supportive of ours. So.
And their effort has a different angle on it. They're doing a moratorium mm-hmm. on the industry until an environmental impact statement is done. I know that Kauai, with Ordinance 960, is asking for an EFIS, which uh-huh. means Environmental and Public Health
Impact Study.
Impact study. Right. Larry, do you have something to say?
It's just a question. The Maui Initiative, well, let me back up. The companies say that what they're doing is safe. And when I read the Maui Initiative, the Shaka Initiative, they're saying that that it's in a basis of a precautionary principle that there needs to be proof that it's safe, not to wait until you find proof that it's unsafe. But they specifically identify things that they're asking the companies to do to say that this is proof of safety. When you're the initiative that you're proposing in Kauai to make things safe. What is the end outcome that you're looking to identify what is safe when the companies are saying right now it is safe?
Well, the panel of experts that's laid out and defined in our charter amendment gives a procedure where the companies will be able to provide one of the experts, and then there are three other sources of panel experts for the American Environmental Medicine Organization and the Pesticide Action Network and this administrator of environmental health will each be involved in selecting experts for this panel. So it won't be just a matter of the company saying it's safe. They will have one expert on that panel. But the panel itself will determine whether that that evidence that they're suggesting is valid or not. So it'll be more than them just saying it's safe. They will have to have valid scientific evidence proving that it's safe.
And that would be measured in, they'd be measuring the drift or measuring the water or measuring the ocean water just downstream from it? Is that what they would be looking at? Would they be looking for pollen drift?
They would be looking for pollen drift. They also would be looking for water effects, which is part of what the amendment defines. It defines the entire process, and it defines a monitoring system that will monitor the perimeter of the property that they have control over.
And who pays for that?
They pay for it. They pay for that in an application fees for whatever they were trying to do.
And just to be devil's advocate, let's presume that they are running a safe program.
Mm-hmm.
Then it wouldn't really impact them much.
If what they're doing is safe, it wouldn't impact them at all.
Well, they'd have to pay to prove that what they're doing is safe. But right now, we are doing quite a lot that subsidizes the industry. So they would pay to, just like organic farmers have to pay to prove that their food is organic, these guys would be paying to prove that they are not impacting as they claim to be.
Exactly. And the new administrative office of its administrator of environmental health would be monitoring that. So there is a monitoring system that they would their fees would also pay for, monitoring the air and the water and any drift.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Kavika?
So basically, you're bringing checks and balances to the industry.
Exactly. What Kavika was speaking about earlier when he was talking about a good neighbor policy and actually treating your neighbors as you would want to be treated. That's really what this is about. It's just saying that if you're harming the neighbors, then stop. If you're not, then you're fine.
It's the golden rule. Treat others how you want to be treated.
Amen.
That's all there is to it.
Thank you. Larry, do you have any questions?
No, just a thought that when the hallmarks for safety are identified, they have to be specific. So that there's no ambiguity. There's, you know what the, I like the Maui initiative where they're talking about, they identify specific things. They talk about transgenic contamination from the genetically engineered organisms to non-genetically engineered. They talk about the availability and efficacy of recalling the genetically engineered organisms from the environment. So they outline the specific things. So I would just think this is going to be simpler to monitor if you can identify and specifically what the safety criteria are.
I think you'll be happy to read the amendment.
So can you send us a copy? And next week, maybe you can come in towards the later part of the show. I will stay in touch with you. What we are expecting on next week is we have three activists, one who is going to be on the Around the World sale on the Hokulea, but they have just recently been released from KCCC, the Correctional Center.
Uh-huh.
So they want to speak to what causes crime, what elements are in our community that push crime, and they have some pretty interesting perspectives on how to make structural changes in how we run our culture to help that be abated. And they learned a whole lot when they were in there, so I think that that's good. And how those two things can tie together is in Ordinance 960, what that's saying is if these companies actually are harming their neighbors,
mm-hmm.
that they are criminally liable.
Yes.
So we have what I consider petty criminals going to jail sometimes just for not getting their zipper working on their gun case or being frustrated and throwing a temper tantrum or stealing a weed whacker. I mean, it can be a pretty small crime that gets you in jail, where large-scale crimes that can be generational land theft, those go
unpunished.
And then the following week, we have Justin Collar, who's going to come in with our prosecutor, with a couple of these guys who have recently been released, and then a couple of the people who are Hawaiian nationals. And we're going to have a discussion together about how we deal with crime. But so next week, Michael, I think that this is a very big initiative. I mean, it's a very big step if Kauai was to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have time next week to stop in?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Okay, so send me your file, because
okay.
I wanna vet it,
okay.
as that is. I want to make sure that what you're doing is good. Now, did you have this vetted? Has the county attorney looked at it, or has it been looked at by attorneys?
Yes, we've got 7 pages of guidelines from the elections office, which is part of the county clerk's office, which is being advised by the county attorney's office. So, yes, and in terms of attorneys, although the county attorney, all they do, they don't look at the substance or the content of the amendment, but they look at the form of the petition itself. So they've given us a ton of guidelines on what the paper itself has to look like and what information is to be gathered and the weight of the paper and a significant amount of detail.
So with
did have a really wonderful attorney show up we've been working with for the past year, and he's been doing environmental law for 43 years. And he was involved in stopping the pollution from the steel mills in Pittsburgh and stopping the pollution of the copper mines on the West Coast. And he's also part of the team that wrote the Clean Air Act.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure what happened, but he was also instrumental in in the Federal Clean Air Act and actually authoring parts of that. So his background is really strong. He's really smart, and it's designed this to withstand the legal challenges that we're sure will probably come at some point along the journey.
So what I'm hearing is that an experienced attorney in environmental law regulating industry helped to craft this. I know that you're a smart man, but you didn't write this petition.
No. It'd be dangerous claiming to be our own attorney here for sure. Now, this is based on some pretty optimistic research that I was surprised to hear in his research on the Hawaiian state constitution, for example. Much of the law here in terms of clean air and clean water is stronger, in his opinion, than most of the other 50 states.
Because it's based on the original Hawaiian constitution?
Well, because it so clearly outlines, I don't know if I could be definitive in
that
it's based
actually.
On, but I know much of it is, but I'm not qualified to make that kind of a legal statement. But he, in fact, I think we sent you, I'm not sure, but some of the legal underpinnings of this, and they read very clearly and are very solid. So we're encouraged by that.
Okay, well, I'm encouraged to look at what you have. And so one last time, the Kauai's Next Step is what it's called right now, ballot initiative that is just requiring people, companies that use a large level of restricted use pesticides that they just have to prove that it is doing, in fact, what they're saying, not drifting into their neighbors' areas, not drifting into the water of the ocean or seeping down into the groundwater. So they can prove that, it's all good. And that's going to be on the ballot if there's enough petition signatures.
Correct.
Okay.
And anybody who would like more information, please send an email to kauairising@gmail.com. Or, again, to volunteer and help us gather the signatures if that's an interest, or volunteer in other ways. We do have some upcoming events that they could support. Call Laura Lynn at 826-6513, 826-6513, and we'll look forward to next week, Felicia.
Okay. And you will be putting out there which events?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Aloha.
Aloha.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL Holly Eva. That was Michael Schutz with Kauai Rising describing his new ballot initiative petition drive. It has to have enough signatures. It needs over 2,000 signatures to make it onto the next election ballot for having the charter of the county change to be protecting the land. Kavika Kucher from Anahola is in here, so is Larry Schneider, and I have a caller holding. Yes, Larry, do you have something to say?
Oh, just a while ago, a caller was asking if we could, if we can find out what Aquamaster was that they're putting in the water. It's glyphosate. It's first cousin of a Roundup. It's a Roundup that's designed to stick in wet environments. So they just changed the salt a little bit to make it stick to plant material that grows in water. So it's made by Monsanto, and it's just it's the first cousin of Roundup.
Thank you. Yeah. And we have another caller. You're on the air.
Hey, folks, how's it going?
Good, and you're going to need to speak solidly into your phone.
Okay, is that good, what I'm doing now?
No.
Oh, I'm on a landline and not moving. I'm not
okay, checking. Just project your voice stronger and go ahead. It's all your word sounds are coming out. You're just light.
Okay, interesting. I just wanted to comment on a caller a couple of calls ago when he mentioned the Constitution and that one of his views on solving some problems is amending the Constitution. And I just wanted to add to that. I think that the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution as a document, is an unbelievable document, and it certainly has had some good tweaking over the years and will need it again as generations go by. But to me, it's one of the main reasons we moved from feudalism into, you know, a middle class and whatever you want to call the evolution since then. Without that, we'd still be living in a feudal-like society. And so what I would say is the three most important things we need to do is enforce the Constitution the way it is and apply it. And number two, get rid of the IRS and get rid of the Federal Reserve.
Right, which, neither of which were really constitutional.
Yeah, and which I don't see much will to do, but nevertheless, that's, you're right. That's, it all ties together, that if people could wake up and see that both of those are an infraction of the Constitution, if, and we wake up to realize the problems those institutions cause, and to apply the Constitution in a myriad of other ways the way it was supposed to be, we might be able to make it through the problems we're having. And without doing that, I don't see how we can, in the sense that things are just going to get worse. It doesn't mean people won't survive and even thrive, but it's going to become more and more difficult unless those three things happen.
We had a guest on the show and who was here on the island with a project called Move to Amend, and that is move to amend the Constitution to define a citizen as a human being. Right now, a citizen can be a corporation, and most of us, if you look at your driver's license or your marriage certificate or your home ownership, your name is in all caps, and that is your corporate self. And so we have maritime law, not constitutional law, that covers anything that deals with those all-cap letters. So United States of America is in all caps. It's a corporation held in Washington, D.C. The state of Hawaii, in all caps, is actually a corporation, too. So the move to amend is trying to bring some of the humanity back that was in the Constitution. But something that I did learn, I've been taking classes, and a lot of times what we're taught in school is what we're wanted to believe. And yes, the U.S. Constitution is a good thing, but we're taught that that's the greatest country ever and the greatest document and all that. But what our ancestors, and I'm going to claim those ancestors for anybody, no matter what color you are, and whether you're a Hawaiian national and in an occupied nation or not, our ancestors in the United States, in America, when they fought the American Revolution, they made something called the Articles of Confederation.
Right.
And it was much weaker. It allowed for so much more autonomy everywhere,
right,
and it did not have a president. And so it did not reflect the king. The president reflects the king. The Senate reflects the House of Lords. The House of Representatives reflects the House of Commons. They basically, when Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin went off to France to go help the French do their thing, 39 guys got in a closed room, and they basically pulled back the Articles of Confederation, and they designed the Constitution to really emulate something much closer to the English common law. And the United States Constitution is centered around private property rights. And it's a really difficult thing to sit there and look at it. That's where we see a very big difference between the Hawaiian culture, which did not have private property rights, though really, honestly, it was a bit of a feudalistic system.
Mm-hmm.
As a girl, it didn't, wouldn't necessarily
certain
have...
Certain laws for certain people.
Certain laws for certain people. It wasn't
certain
absolute...
Males had a law, females had a law.
Right, and there was a caste system, and there was even a caste that
but was
called the Untouchables. I think they're pronounced the Kawa.
So it has flaws. The U.S. Constitution has flaws. The Articles of Confederation, when we look at what we really fought that American Revolution for, that was stolen as soon as the key guys left the country.
The Articles of Confederation were much more aligned with states' rights. It probably would have been a more powerful document. However, if you look at our history until after World War II, the middle class was growing and you had people being able to control their destiny. Well, before that, you had, you know, a couple hundred kings around the world who ruled everything.
I am going to argue with you again, and forgive me for interrupting on this, but
no worries.
We had what was called the robber barons in the 1800s, and it was rather feudalistic. And the way that the original Constitution was written was to help white male landowners who already had hold on to their stake and to have more. And it took blood coups, really, from right. the Native Americans, the African Americans, the women's suffrage movement. None of it came easily to bring us these areas that balanced the power out a little bit more. And when we really had the biggest swelling of a middle class was right after World War II. But we had devastated Japan. We had devastated, or they were devastated, Europe, Central Europe.
Right.
And so we didn't have any competition. And we had all these natural resources. And we surged forward economically, and we became a world power. But at that same time, we became empirical.
Right.
And so we have something like, I don't have my exact figure, something like 140 countries out of 193 have an American base in it. I mean, it's a really interesting paradigm that we have chosen to do. So I think that, like, that move to amend that says the citizen is a human being and not a corporation is a really, really big, important step that, I guess that's my opinion, but that is something I've learned as I go through this process on this show, learning from different guests, learning from different callers, and I realize I'm really countering you, so
no,
I will step back.
I agree with you on that. You also brought up about 10 other points, and my allotted time is probably running out. But, for example, one of the early things I said is the Constitution has been amended and needs to be amended, and therefore slavery was ended, and a lot of the ignorance in the Constitution was corrected, and I think we can continue to do that. And there was also a lot of mistakes that were made because the original founding fathers did not want international involvement, and that came back to happen because of your point about corporations beginning to infiltrate the government, and that was around 1919, around World War One, and that all happened with the Federal Reserve and all of that. Without that having happened, it wouldn't have been a perfect picture, but we could have evolved, and we could have allowed this model to spread, just like the French Revolution happened quite soon after ours for very recognizable reasons. There's a real line there from what happened that you can trace from what happened in America to what happened in France and what happened in the rest of the world.
And England happened after France. There was this budding of democracy and pushback.
Yeah.
And then it seems like the European banks won the Civil War. There is so much just change of hand that goes on. And so when we have these maritime courts, there's business law, it's not constitutional law, and almost all of us are underneath that business law before we are underneath the Constitution. And there's been so many executive signings and things like the National Defense Authorization Act and what's the farm one called again? The Farmers Safety Modernization Act. There's act after act after act, and they're like inch-thick stacks of documents. How we can need so many rules is beyond me.
But they disempower
the Constitution.
It is ridiculous. And one of the points you made earlier, because you made several really good ones, is the capital letters and the corporation of the United States being filed in Washington, D.C. I've heard, and I don't know this for a fact, but I've heard actually the corporation that is the United States of America is actually owned by England, and that England never really gave up its power and its empire. It just changed its costume. And that's really interesting. When I first heard somebody pleading his case along those lines, is that something you can look up, and that the Queen of England basically calls the shots? You know, I just got this sense like, wow, you know, that kind of fits the paradigm that I'm starting to
have revealed. Well, and there's all these threads that, from the surface, they sound really incredulous, and that they're so different from what we were taught in school. And
right.
It's not because our teachers or our administrators were trying to misinform, but the books and everything else flow with the main dominant culture message that they want us to have, which is disempowering. And so when I have Kavika in here, where we are representing a little bit more of a Kanaka Mo'oli perspective, in that culture, it's much deeper aligned towards...
I wanted to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
About the U.S. Constitution. If it would do what it would said, then I wouldn't feel like a second-class citizen.
Yeah, I agree with
you. And then most of the laws on the state books in Hawaii are all after the Kingdom of Hawaii laws. I'm not for any more laws being made at all. We have too many laws as it is.
Yeah.
I'm against any more fishing laws. I'm against any more access laws. I was in a country a long time ago where people stood in line with a card to get food. And I was 18 years old at the time. And that memory is still fresh today. And you don't want to go socialist and you don't want to go communist. You want to have individual freedoms that are guaranteed. Because if you go either of those ways, all it does is bring death and poverty to everybody.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's what I think sometimes happens to people. Throw the baby out with the bathwater and can't see the emergence of, an enlightened society because of the signing of that Constitution. And, boy, I'm not blind to the problems, and I totally support you in no more laws and no more bureaucracy, and let's get decentralized.
I think we should lessen the laws. There's a lot of laws that don't need to even be on the books anymore.
I agree we could
get rid of. And that would give the police more power to enforce the laws that need to be enforced.
A lot of the dictums in our country, though, are based on precedent law. And I challenge any of the people who are saying, oh, no, these laws are necessary, to read them and explain to people how it's not protecting entities instead of individuals. Most of the laws that I read, one, they're very difficult to read. They're hundreds of pages. But when you sort through it, there's always loophole paragraphs that protect corporate entities. Mm-hmm. And I think we've gotten away from a simple a pursuit of freedoms and rights and a civility to have loopholes to protect corporate entities. And I think you're seeing you're seeing society become more polarized. Very, very wealthy, small minority, and a very the majority just being able to exist.
It seems to me as a Kanaka that the more money you have, the more rights you have, which is just wrong. And money doesn't make you better than anybody else. It just makes you have money. Everybody should be treated equally, and the government should represent the people, not corporations. It should represent the individual families, all those soldiers that went overseas to fight in the wars, all those teachers that teach kids to teach, all the firemen that go to fires, all the policemen that enforce the law, all the doctors that heal people, all the nurses in the hospitals, all the farmers. That's who government should represent. It should not represent a special interest group that has ulterior motives that aren't even good for a country.
Right, and it's gone beyond representing them. Those guys are actually calling the shots, and I don't even think we have any true representatives or presidents anymore. They're just puppets.
Well, who owns the money? It's not the government. It's private entity.
Exactly.
I want to say something in defense of people who are in the government, too, is that I think that what happens for these people, they can be really, really well-meaning and have an incredibly good heart and a very good intention and integrity of spirit, and they get elected into a position where the laws themselves do not allow them to do the right thing. And a small, simple example is the burial council. People be on the burial council, and they get the choice when they find Ivi Kupuna, they can either dig them out, put them in a separate box, and place them somewhere else on the property, or they can build over it. They don't have the option to simply not build. So you think the burial council does such a bad job, and our one that was here basically evaporated because it was too difficult for the people on there to have the lesser evil of two choices. And I think when we have people in office, sometimes they are absolutely compromised, and sometimes they are simply disempowered. And we need to give them a good rule, like that move to amend that says citizens are human beings. That helps them to do a better job.
As a Kanaka with the bones and the EV, personally, I would never build on anybody's graveyard or ancestors, because that's totally disrespectful. I would never go to the Catholic cemetery and put a condo on it. I would never go to the Buddhist temple and put a McDonald's on it. I would never go to one of my ancestors' plots and put a house on it and have a vacation rental, because that's totally disrespectful for me as a person, my ancestors, my race, my people. I would not want to do that to you. And that's what one thing about us Kanakas, we take it real personal and deep when you disturb our ancestors, because you have no right to do that. You might have it legally, but spiritually you have no right, and morally you have no right.
Right. That's one thing that people that have stayed close to the land and their culture in their area are very strong with, that understanding and belief, and that's universal and needs to be respected.
Yeah, there needs to be clauses in the law that says if you do find bones on your property and your property was sold to you, the title should be a clear title and you shouldn't have to leave the bones alone.
Right. Yeah, that's
just common sense.
It's just sacred ground. How can you not understand that, you know? And you know, unless you've lost your humanity, in which case, even if the Constitution gives it back to you, you know, what difference does it make when you can't feel that?
And we have this challenge here of how do we honor the history of Hawaii and keep it being the present? And it can stay the present, and I think that when people come to Hawaii, even as visitors, they want to experience it and not experience the sanitized element of it. Caller, thank you so much for your feedback.
Thank you, folks. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. So I want to give a shout-out to a number of these events. Different people are putting efforts out right now, and we're almost at the end of our show. The KCC is putting on April 16th at 6 p.m., a film called Unwasted, The Future of Business on Earth. Zero Waste Kauai is also a part of this, and Apollo Kauai and the Living Institute, the Sustainable Living Institute of Kauai. So movie night, Wednesday, April 16th at 6 p.m., Unwasted, The Future of Business on Earth. That lines up with the rest of what we've been saying. Also, this Sunday, 10 a.m. at Kahili Beach, there's an effort to stand up to the claiming of that land that is happening through just sort of a taking by what you're saying, well-heeled people who are building on the land and upstream, just being able to use security to block people off from the water. So there is going to be a paddle up the stream. I'm trying to look to see if I can pull up those details. It's on Sunday, 10 a.m., paddling up there at Kahili Beach, which is rock quarry. Earth Day Rising is on April 18th through the 20th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a camp out down there at Waipa. The Regeneration Seed Exchange is happening at that same time. On the 19th, on the Mauka side, there, 12 to 5, a great place to share plants. KCC is having an Earth Day event, I believe, on the 21st. So there are 4 days there. I know that voter registration is probably going to be happening all over the island from all different sides of perspectives. If you get a permanent absentee ballot, it's a great way. You can just do it at home, kind of like the way the KIUC ballots go. You can also register online. Larry, you're up near the mic, and you were going to mention something about the Affordable Care Act deadline passing, and you had a couple other announcements?
The one I was going to
speak of was tonight at 7 o'clock in Kilauea at the community center, the neighborhoods meeting about the ag park.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And someone you know is presenting, so you could probably speak a little bit more about
that. Is that Bino Costello or is that Yosh? Oh, Talia's going to be presenting there. Oh, I didn't even know that. She's the one who was pushing for the food foresting and edible landscaping in public places, which I think is absolutely in alignment with your suggestion, Kavika.
That's
She's
a good idea.
A young girl from Princeville. It made it all the way unopposed through the House of Representatives. It did get stopped by one senator in the Senate, but Ron Cochi, Derek Kawakami, Mayor Cavallo has helped to make Kilauea Neighborhood Park be a pilot project and hopefully to be demonstrating something well. Other big, big, big victory is... Go ahead.
Talia is presenting tonight at 7. At the Kilauea Community Center.
Okay, I will be there, and that would be the Kilauea Neighborhood Association. Plus, we got the county 7-0 support from the council members to allow the Kilauea Ag Park, 75 acres, to be turned over to the community to farm that after 30 years of sitting on it. So, good call on that.
I have a short poem I'd like to say.
Please.
You put me in a box and threw me on the side of the road. You kick me every day and say I have no place to go. I listened to you as a young boy, and you always told me what was right and wrong. But everything you told me was a lie, and you fed me a song. You put me in the box and threw me on the side of the road. And every day I try to get out, and you pour sand on my head. And you tell me, Hawaiian, there's no place for you in this day and age. Why can't you just go away like the bones that are on the side of the road? You put me in a box, and I scream and yell for help. And no one hears my words. And you tell me aloha as you go by. I wonder who you sold and what you sold and why did you sell it. And you left me all alone. I'm on the side of the road in this box and my heart's full of pain. What happened to my Hawaii nei that I used to know as a little boy? It's never the same. Mahalo, that's my final words.
Well, that's a beautiful poem. Beautiful poem. And I do want to say we had a caller in there. We're getting ready for Jazz with John. We're almost at the top of the hour. A caller talking about the international elements and all those things. This is like a weaving. It's a big tapestry what comes out on this show. Sometimes we're talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. A couple few weeks back, we talked about Venezuela and what's going on down there. We have Leonardo Leopold, who is in jail. It's hard for me to tell from here who's right, who's wrong, but big things are happening there and around the world. We do have coming up soon some discussion about Egypt. We have an Egyptian-American. I'm going to see if I can Skype in some guys from Egypt over there, but Egypt has paid attention to our successes here, and even as I say this, I look at people from around the world. We tend to have a lot of Japanese people. Aloha, Japan. Brazil, different areas. A few of them have dropped off now. But we have an international audience for this show and definitely people around the continental United States. Did you write that poem?
That's one of mine.
Yeah, very good. Very good. And you were friends with Butch Kekahu?
Yes, I knew him a long time. He was my neighbor up the road from me.
And he is one of the central people for KKCR, the founder, and that's why it's called the Kekahu Foundation that is arching over KKCR.
We used to have long talks together about what was right and wrong, and we agreed on a lot of things. We agreed on a lot of things, but some things we didn't. But we have the right to agree and disagree agreeably.
And you're part of AHA.
Yes,
right?
Anahola Hawaiian Homes Association. I've been for 15 years. We're involved with a project with a restaurant on the main road when you come in. If you want good food, stop by.
Okay.
My friend Randy is the cook. He cooks great food.
And that's,
Simon is good.
And that's kind of right near where KO does his Huli Huli
right
chicken.
Right past the Huli Huli
and
chicken.
And he must be one of your friends. Maybe not.
He's my good friend.
He's your good friend?
He lives right down the road from me.
He's going to be on a show coming up soon with Justin Collar.
He makes the best Huli Huli chicken on the island.
Yeah, it's very good. And then also, how do you feel about, just a real quick question, throwing that out at the end after you've done this beautiful poem, how do you feel about the power company with the solar fields right up there? That's another issue that we've dealt with here.
Well, I look at it this way, being a homesteader. If we control our power and we have jobs for our people in the community, there's less people that don't have jobs and there's more money in our community, which creates opportunities for families. And I'd rather have us control it and be part of it than us being left in the dark. And it should lower our bills and should give us some opportunities in the long run. Because the Department of Hawaiian Homes has mercantile awards, too, to it, not only farm lots and not only residential. I look at it as an opportunity, and I look at it as a chance for Anahola to expand a little bit. And also, I'd like to see, personally, our own fire department and our own police department and a gym, like Oahu has for kids from the North Shore and the East Side, to come to where we can have all week, all monthly basketball tournaments, jiu-jitsu classes, everything in the gym, kupuna classes, hula classes, whatever. That's what I'd like to see Anahola become. Because Anahola is where the most Hawaiians live on the island, besides Ke Kaha and Waimea and Hanapipe.
Well,
that's what I would like to see.
Thank you for sharing that, Kavika, and thank you for coming in the studio. Hopefully you can do it again or more. Larry, time for a quick aloha before we have the county council report.
I just wanted to thank Kavika. Whenever I'm in your presence, I really enjoy your wisdom. Thank you.
And you guys are workmates, yeah. Right? You guys are coworkers.
Yeah.
No, he's my boss.
All right, he's your boss, but you work at the same place. We're rah, rah, rah. The labor union today, no bosses. Okay, this is Felicia from Kauai Soapbox with Larry Schneider and Kavika Kuchar, and Jazz with John is up next. And we're going to hear the county council report. I want to appreciate the county council for wrangling with this budget. They're going to spend like 3 weeks on it. A lot of work. So thank you, county council.
Thank you, Felicia.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of March 31st. There will be two special council meetings and a council committee meeting this week. The first special meeting is at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, and the second special meeting is at 9:30 a.m. The committee meeting is at 11 a.m., and all meetings will be in the council chambers at the historic county building in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the agendas. The first special meeting is to conduct interviews with Paul Endo for the Liquor Control Commission and Nancy Golden for the Civil Service Commission. Both terms end on 12/31/2016. The second special meeting relates to a request from the county attorney for authorization to spend up to $45,000 for special counsel services in the case of Linnell Fukuda versus Chris Colliel. This item was on the canceled March 19th meeting agenda. There'll also be a non-public executive session. Subjects are all from the canceled March 19th meeting. They are, one, for the county attorney to provide the council with a briefing regarding the settlement in Tim Bynum versus the county. Two, for the county attorney to provide council with a briefing to discuss the council's obligations as it relates to Sheila Miyake's request for payment of attorney's fees in the Tim Bynum case. And three, for the county attorney to provide council a briefing in the case of Linnell Tokuda versus Chris Colliel. Here's the 11 o'clock committee meeting agenda. For the Planning Committee, the Director of Planning requests agenda time on behalf of the Public Access, Open Space, and Natural Resources Preservation Fund Commission to present its 2013 biannual report. Also on their agenda is Bill number 2461 relating to the Comprehensive Zoning Ordinance amendments to the Shoreline Setback Ordinance. This was deferred from the 19th of March. The Finance, Economic Development, Tourism, Vista Industry, Small Business Development, Sports and Recreation Development, Other Economic Development Areas Committee has a request from Council Chair Farrell for the Director of Economic Development to discuss the 2014 Hawaii Tourism Authority Spring Marketing Update. They also have on their agenda Bill 2531 related to the county operating budget for the current fiscal year in the amount of $500,000 for the Office of the County Attorney for consult services and special counsel. This is pursuant to Council Rule 5F, Committee Absence Tie Vote. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.